Happy to be here and be with you, and hope that you're going to be blessed by the program this evening. And hallelujah. We thank the Lord that he loves us all and he's still on the throne, and he's going to bless us today and every day of our lives that we live. He's going to bless his people because he loves his people. He loves you. That's right. He loves me, and we are dear to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's just wonderful to know. It brings great peace to our lives when we can know such a truth as that. I mean, wow. All right, we're going to open up with some news here as we start the program this evening on this 26th day of March 2021 here. All right, so let's look at some things here. Pope Francis, he is saying, well, really, he's discussing another disgusting thing when he says that with Mary is the bridge to God. That's right. He's leaving Jesus out, and he's saying Mary is the bridge to God. In other words, no man comes to the Father but by Mary is basically what he's saying. Now, isn't that crazy? That is craziness. I mean, that is demonic stuff coming out of that man. That man is obviously not a pope of the Most High God, but of the most low devil, most likely. You know, that's what I think. But anyway, everybody can have your own opinion, but that's my opinion of him. I don't believe he's of God at all. I think he's full of devils to say all the things he does and do all the things he does as well, say all the things that he says. And USA Today says Christian values are archaic, and once Christian school, Oral Roberts University banned. Well, I say ban USA Today. You know, I know that Oral Roberts Christian School has its faults. ORU has its faults, but hey, it proclaims Jesus. And I've been there myself, not the school. My daughter went to school there, but I didn't. But yeah, I've been there, though, to various conferences and different things years ago, and I'm not going to ban that. I'll tell you what, these people need banning that are trying to ban Christianity like that in Christian University. Retired pastor Happy Caldwell of Arkansas prayed opening prayer at the State House in Arkansas and thanked lawmakers for protecting the unborn babies from abortion. And oh my, the Democrats there came unhinged. Reportedly, three of the Democrats walked out as Pastor Happy Caldwell prayed and thanked God for what they did. And, of course, you just walk out if you want to, you poor things. You, I tell you, you want babies killed, then something's wrong here. And they criticized him for talking about the taboo lane abortions and politically, you know, hot topics and stuff like that. And they criticized Happy Caldwell, and I don't think he cares at all, because I know who Happy Caldwell is and heard him preach a number of times over the years. And yeah, anyway, let's move on. Hours after a pastor warned his church that the devil would try to kill him and them over witnessing God's power, he just came back from a mission trip also, David Charles Evans, 50 years old, a beloved Oklahoma pastor, was shot dead inside his home. And he was found severely wounded in his home by the police. And then he died very shortly after that, after the police came. But that's tragedy, isn't it? I tell you. It's because you say the devil's going to kill you. Well, we rebuke that. He's not going to kill me. He's not going to kill you. Amen. We got to stand against that. But pray for the man's family. Lord, comfort them and minister to them in the loss of this dear pastor. Bill Gates, he wants to spray millions of tons of chalk into the stratosphere to reflect sunlight and slow global warming, which is a hoax in itself, of course. Used to be global cooling, now it's global warming, and you know, really, get it together, folks. You don't know, you just have a scam going there, okay, to deceive people. But critics fear that it could be disastrous if he does this, but they're not stopping him because they're going ahead with the experiment, sending 2 kilograms of chalk this summer in the balloon way up into the upper atmosphere, the stratosphere. Hey, the Bible says the sun is not going to give its light. Do you think that Bill Gates might have something to do with that in the last days where the sun won't give its light? Possible, huh? Well, Dominion voting machine sued Fox News for $1.6 billion for, quote, falsely claiming the voting company rigged the 2020 election in an effort to boost faltering ratings for Biden. Well, of course they did. And so they're going to sue and try to convince everybody they didn't do it. I think that people know that they did. But whatever. Anyway, we see a lot of lies and a lot of deception. They tell lies constantly. It's amazing, isn't it? Photos show that Biden relied on a 14-point prompt cards. Yeah, 14-point prompt cards during his first press conference, including one with headshots of the reporters that he was to call upon. Yeah, because he just doesn't have it together. You listen to some of the things he said. They obviously are somebody who doesn't know. They're not in touch with reality. I mean, sad, but man, the man should not be in office if he cannot even talk to people. Something's wrong with the man, according to what we're hearing here. All right. Kids TV show featuring completely nude adults answering questions to the kids about their bodies sparked fury in Holland. Critics say Simply Naked, the name of the show, Simply Naked comes close to promoting pedophilia. Of course it does. I mean, really? Sick producers. They say these makers of the program said it was very carefully produced and is intended to educate kids. Really? Educate children? It was televised by public broadcaster NOS in Europe. So not over here. Thank God it's not here, but still, shouldn't he be there? And it's disgusting to see such thing going on, isn't it? I think so. What are they doing? Showing adults like that to children. Anyway, something's wrong with anybody's brain that wants to do that, in my opinion. Well, that's not normal. Okay, that's not natural. That's not godly. That doesn't exalt the Lord. That exalts the devil. The Mexican cartel Coyote charged from $2,500 to $9,000 a person to smuggle them into the U.S. Depending on, you know, the person. Like if they're from a foreign country, they're charged $9,000. If they're Chinese or they're some other foreign country, they're charged the most. And if they're just Mexicans, they charge $2,500. But if they're from one of the other Central American countries, they're charged more also. But if they're really not Latin Americans, they're charged $9,000. But they get them in. And, of course, the borders right now are a disaster zone. That's bringing in all kinds of illegals into this country right now. And, of course, that's what happened in Israel. The foreigners came into their country when they departed from serving the living God. And so when people depart from the living God, then they open themselves to all kinds of other gods and demons and devils to come in. And well, anyway, that's the case. And Lord, we pray this country will be turned around before it's totally destroyed and too late for it. That's my prayer. I want to see a national move of God, too, and where people are getting born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit before it's all over. Amen? Amen. Well, good to have you tuning in today. Time for me to pray now as we go in to the Word of God here in a few moments. I appreciate each and every listener to the program. I appreciate those of you who are so kind to support the program and to send your love, support and tithes and offerings. We appreciate that so much, and it's such a blessing. And I just want to say from our heart, Linda and I, that we do appreciate all your support, and it helps a lot, and we thank you for it. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless every supporter of this program, those who support with prayer and intercession, and those who support financially, and those who do both. We thank you for each and every one of them and ask your blessing on their life, on their finances, on their health, on their family, on their job, Father. And you would just bless them abundantly above all that they could think or ask in Jesus' name. And we give you the glory for that right now, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for what breakthroughs in people's lives, where they can break through out of these things that have been holding them back, get delivered, see change in their home, in their marriage, in their family, Father, for the better. We give you the glory for doing that, Father, in their lives, Father, the listeners of this program. We ask you to minister to them. I'm praying today for also for one person's granddaughter that listened to the program, and they're just being attacked. Father, we pray for you to minister to that person. We break the power of the enemy over them and just ask you to work mightily there in Jesus' name. And we rebuke the enemy, command him to stop what he's doing in Jesus' name against this person. And we give you the glory for this right now in Jesus' name, Lord. We cover the broadcast tonight with the blood of Jesus. We thank you that no weapon formed against it or us will prosper in the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit would have his way tonight. And thank you, Lord, that we're just in the hands of the living God. Is there a better place to be than that? I know there isn't. And so, Lord, we just want to be right smack in the middle of the will of God, the perfect will of God, and the hands of God, that, Lord, that your angels are giving charge over us, lest we dash our foot against a stone, that we dwell in that secret place. Hallelujah. And we know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded tonight that you're able to keep us until that day of your return. Father, we thank you for that today. We thank you for your presence here on this broadcast. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you for deliverance, Father, taking place and setting people free, Father. I just appreciate, Lord, that you minister to people, Lord, and set them free from demons. And I've had so many testimonies of people just getting the deliverance at the end of the broadcast for the last 20, 30 minutes of the broadcast of how demons have come out. And they've had many manifestations. I've heard many testimonies of these things. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you deliver those that we can't go to personally. So we can go to them personally by this broadcast, Father, and I thank you for that, Lord. And we give you the glory for that. And just commit this time, Lord, that we have together tonight to bring forth this word to you, Lord, and to the people that are listening. But it's coming from you, frankly. So, Lord, it's by your power that we can even do this, Lord. And so we give you glory that we can bring forth these words to people, Lord. And I thank you that we're empowered. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't be able to do it without you, Lord, and I wouldn't even try. If I couldn't depend totally upon you, I wouldn't even try to bring forth these words, because I know that they would just fall flat. But, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, that's not the case, Father. We thank you for the anointing. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. I thank you for ministering to people tonight that are married to unbelievers, Father. I pray you turn those relationships around, Father, and bring their spouse into alignment with Christ Jesus, that they would get born again and come out of their darkness into your marvelous light, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray that spouses could be on the same page, Father, instead of separated and divided in a divided house, Father. Well, we pray for a lady that's having surgery, Father. We pray you just heal that up safely, Father, and not let there be any complications whatsoever, Father. And I pray for another person that's gone into the hospital this week, Father. I pray for them to recover all, Father, having problems in their abdominal area, Father. We pray they'll recover all and be healed completely in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the healing power of your word, and we just give you all the praise for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. And if you have a special prayer request that you want me to pray for on the air, you just go ahead and email me, and I'll pray for it next week. And next week is communion. We're going to get your grape juice and cracker, and we will partake of communion together next Friday night on the broadcast. Praise God. All right. We're going to get into this. Are you ready? I tell you what, I'm ready for this, and I believe that God's going to speak to us some things. It's called, the title tonight is A Pit of Darkness. A Pit of Darkness. And folks, all of us are going to have to learn the art of moving on in life. You know, some of you are still stuck in some places and some ways in your life. And too many Christians have simply not learned how to move on. And they're stuck in something. Something in the past. Something, some relationship in the past, a past fantasy about someone in the past. I know people that just continually thinking about somebody in their past and wishing that things would have been different and even fantasizing about how it would have been if they'd have been with them. And listen, this is a waste of time. You're not with them and you're never going to be with them. So why are you wasting your time thinking about it? I mean, you know, the devil would like to get your mind so focused on something that's never going to be a reality. It'll have you pining away about someone or something, you know, some unmet dream or some unmet relationship or some past grief or sorrow about something or some regret that you have or about something that you didn't do or could have done or should have done and didn't do. And man, he'll keep you stuck there for a while. Some people are stuck there for years, okay? And, of course, demons want to keep you stuck. Yeah, they want to keep you from moving ahead. They want to keep you stuck in a just wallowing around in past hurts and past regrets and, oh, what if? What if this could have happened? And what if that could have happened? And, yeah, how many people are stuck in the what ifs? I'll tell you. Well, what if this does happen? Yeah, it's future and past and present, the what ifs are. Or a sin in your life that gets you focused on that and thinking that God doesn't want you or could never use you or you're so messed up or washed out or, oh, man, it's amazing, you know, the amount of Christians that are stuck right now. Amazing amount that are stuck in a pit of darkness, too. I mean, we need to move on, folks. And perhaps you're stuck because you hold something against another person or persons or organization. Perhaps you're walking around with some unforgiveness in place, even towards yourself. Maybe you find yourself the hardest one to forgive, see? A lot of people are like that, too. I've talked to plenty of Christians over the years, of these 37 years of pastoring people. I've had many conversations with people in all of these conditions that I'm talking about. So I'm not talking, you know, off the top of my head. I'm talking from experience here, my friend. And so maybe in order for you to move on, you're going to have to let go and release them from their sin against you, if that's you that you have ought against somebody, or you will simply not move on. And as much as you want to move on, you're not going to move on. As much as you want to be in the midst of moving on with God and stuff, it isn't going to happen if you're in a condition like this. And you may not know it is there sometimes because you're just carrying the thing around, and other people know it because they listen to you talk and you reveal yourself by the words of your mouth, right? And some of you are in a dark pit today. You're stuck, you're lost, and your joy is not there like it was at one time. You've lost your peace, your song. Something happened to it, and it got to you, and you let it dig its hole, and now you remain in the pit of it. Yeah, and you need to cry out to Jesus today. He's going to lift you out of it. He'll restore you, but you got to come to a place of humility where you just totally depend on Jesus to get out of it, right? I mean, you get your peace back. You get your joy back. You get your song in your heart back. Yeah, it can happen. I mean, here's a scripture for you today. Let's just go read this Psalms 40. Turn over to Psalm 40 as we read our first scripture. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he had put a new song in my mouth. See, we need to have a song in our mouth, folks. And it needs to be the one, not Led Zeppelin, not the worldly music, some rap song. No, it needs to be the song of the Lord, a new song that he places in there. A new song, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Right. Hallelujah. You need to get back to on the rock again. Time to have that song, the new song in your mouth. It's time to move on. And you've been hurt. I've been hurt. You've been overlooked. You've been abused. You've been wounded in life. You've been mistreated. We all have. You've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have. You've made some bad mistakes. You have issues right now in your life. We all do. Nobody's arrived to perfection yet, other than spiritually we are. Hey, I know that. But you must not allow yourself to get stuck and get into a pit of darkness over all this stuff that has happened. You need to allow Jesus and his love and his grace to pick you up and heal you. That's right. He can do that. He can do what we cannot do. Psalms 147. Go over there. Psalm 147, verse 3. It says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Did you get that? He healed the brokenhearted and bindeth up their wounds. You think you might need some of that today? You know, there's a pit. You know, there is a pit, and there are those that are in their pit. And those in the pit sometimes just have a hard time believing that Jesus and the Father really cares and loves them as much as he really does. Listen, he loves you more than you could ever imagine in this life. I know that we have some concept of that love, but we really don't have the full concept of that love. We don't have the full understanding of it. There's much more to be revealed, okay? There's much more to be revealed. And he's doing it little by little, okay? But, you know, they often have often lived under self-punishment, self-abuse and self-sabotage any chance of getting out of the pit because they don't feel worthy. When you're in that condition, you don't feel worthy. You've messed up so many times, done the same sin, and maybe a habitual sin over and over and over again. And how could God ever do anything with me, you say to yourself. But God has called you to wellness, and he's called you to wholeness. He's called you to be delivered. He's called you to be free. He's called you to be complete in him. Now, we know in the Bible that Jerusalem speaks of the church so often in the Old Testament. Now, let's look at Psalms 147:2 here. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. So he builds up his church. You're the church. I'm the church. And God builds up his church. And we're having church here tonight, folks. So let him build you up. See, this is his plan for you, his church, for all of us. And God wants to build you and rebuild you, remake you, and mold you, and make all things new, and restore your song to you, the new song that he puts in your mouth. You know, the book of Nehemiah is a book of reconstruction. When Jerusalem was ruined and almost just totally gone, destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar, Nehemiah returned and rebuilt and restored the city. And Nehemiah in Hebrew means comforter, and he's a type of the Holy Spirit who rebuilds and restores. He rebuilds and restored the wrecked and the ruined and the destroyed things in our lives, see? That's what the Holy Spirit does. And deliverance is part of it. Surely deliverance is part of it. But the other side of it is that, hey, he's the one that's going to do this. The Lord is the one that's going to do this. right? And we all have some destroyed things in our lives that we need the work of Nehemiah, the work of the Holy Spirit, to come and do in our lives. And Jerusalem was rebuilt by regathering God's people, by calling them out of Babylon. Babylon means confusion, right? The world, the devil's lair, you know, the devil's abode. And listen, many Christians are partaking of Babylon, and they're confused today. They need deliverance. They're feeding on something that is not of God. It's confusion. And when they listen to that confusion day in and day out, with every manner that it's being pumped into them, that every manner that the devil has come up with to pump it into them, well, what are they getting? They're opening doors to devils, for one thing. And so we have a bunch of confused Christians today. They're in the grip of Babylon, of devils, and they don't even know it. Through Satan's devices of gradualism, they have incrementally been gripped by confusion, by Babylon, and by devils, and they don't even know they're in the grip of it. See? And this is the condition that we see a lot of the church falling into today, more and more. Unfortunately, I've been doing this a long time. I've been casting out demons for 37 years, folks. This is not new to me. And I've watched the church, and I've watched deception sneak into the church incrementally. See, this is how the devil works, folks. You've got to understand that about the devil. He's not going to just pour it all out on you at once. Little by little is how the enemy works. Because he knows that if he poured it all out on you at one time, you'd rise up, you'd resist the devil. You wouldn't put up with that, see. But he comes in little by little, and you put up with it because, oh, that's just a little thing, you know, it's not too much. And you just put up with it, yeah. You just put up with it. And you just put up with it, and you just put up, and a little more comes, and you put up with that, and a little more comes, and you just put up with that. And before long, man, he's got you in all kinds of mess. He's got you in a dark pit, and you don't even know you're in a dark pit, right? Gradualism, incrementalism, you know, little by little. That's how the enemy works, see? And people don't even know they're in the grip of it. And thus many Christians cannot cope with life. Why? Well, they're confused. And Babylon has them, and demons have them, and we need to come out of Babylon, saints. We need to come out of that Babylonian spirit. We don't want to be a partaker of the world system. The Bible says, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. If you love the world is in you, then you love the love of the Father is not in you, right? That's what it says in 1 John. I'm just kind of quoting it, not perfect, but close. 2 Corinthians 6:14. We'll read this here, 6:14. That be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be in a connection with them, the ungodly yoking here with Babylon. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? We really can't join ourselves to the ungodly, folks, to the Babylonian system and the people that are entrenched within it. Now, we're to be a light, and we're to shine to them, and we're to help bring them out of darkness into his marvelous light. But see, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. But he uses you and me, and he doesn't have any perfect vessel to use either. So he uses those of us who will let him use them, right? So why is light having fellowship with darkness today? Why? Compromise, right? We need to put aside Babylon. Compromise and come out of it. Live fully in the kingdom of God. Do you love the world's music? Do you love Hollywood? Do you love the world? Do you love money, sports, or do we love Jesus? We're going to have to make up our mind. There's too many idols in Babylon that people are attached to. You have soul ties with things that you don't need to have soul ties with, see? But break those soul ties and come out from among those soul ties. And don't be controlled by that. You've got to get rid of the idols in our lives. See, the Lord wants to rebuild us, to heal us, to rebuild your personality and put you back together again, right? You had a great fall. The fall of man was a great fall. And no man can put you back together. You can go sit on the psychiatrist's bed and lay there and take the pills they give you, but that isn't going to put you back together again. No. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus can do that, see? And deliverance is part of that, see? And wholeness requires leaving Babylon, leaving demons' lair, right? Leaving the devil's lair. You don't want to live in the devil's lair. You don't want to be a constant partaker of it. You can't serve two masters. And Jerusalem was rebuilt by calling God's people out of Babylon. They were called back to the land of milk and honey. They came back to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, which stands for comforter in the Hebrew, rebuilt the wall. And see, most Christians have broken down walls too. You know that? That's right. When you've been in a pit, your walls are broken down. When you've been hurt and it's been allowed to stay there and fester in you, your walls are broken down. When you've been in rejection, your walls are broken down. When you've been in rebellion, your walls are broken down. When you've been in resentment, that's right, your walls are broken down. You know, sin and sexual sin, your walls are broken down. See? When you get involved in these things, your walls are broken down. Yeah, and the hedge is, you know, the little foxes spoil the vine. They come in and they started boiling you. And the little foxes speak of devil, right? And as it says in Ecclesiastes, if the hedge is broken too, a serpent will bite. In Ecclesiastes 10:8, you've been bitten. See, some snakes have bitten us. Some demons have bitten our lives. And folks, we just simply need to get restored by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus and his work in us. Yeah, some of you are being bitten right now. You've got some things going on there in your life that you shouldn't have going on there. You need to get out of agreement with, right? And see, that's the thing. Until you get out of agreement with it, you're in agreement with it, and it's going to continue to work in you and continue to be an open door for devils. Yeah. Some of you have dug a pit and you've fallen into it as well. You dug it through self-pity. Well, that's one we don't want to talk about, Pastor, tonight. Come on now. Be nice. I'm being nice because I love you and I want you to hear the truth, folks. That poor me spirit. Yeah, I've been abused. I've been hurt. I've been mistreated. I've been talked about, gossiped about, slandered. Well, welcome to the human race, folks. You're not the only one. No. Or maybe you dug it by your own stubbornness and rebellion. We need to let Nehemiah come. We need to let the Holy Spirit come and have his way with you. The Lord wants to restore your soul, the mind, will, and emotion, to have the love and the power of the Holy Spirit reconstruct your personality, to heal you, restore your song, give you that new song, and get you up out of that demonic dark pit that you've been in. And so many Christians are in them. They don't want to talk about it too much. They don't want to face it too much, but they are. And perhaps you need physical healing as well. Today, many ministers quote Matthew 8:17. Let's go read that. Matthew 8:17 says here that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Well, that's a good verse, right? He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I like that. But they leave out verse 16. What does verse 16 say? When the evening would come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Notice what he did. He cast out spirits and healed the sick. I think that they go together, folks. In a lot of cases, that's what I see. Right? It says Jesus took those infirmities and sickness in verse 17. But in verse 16, it says how he took them. He took them by casting out the spirits and healing the sick. See, Matthew 8:17 was accomplished by a combination of deliverance and healing together. Because many sicknesses are nothing but demons manifesting in your body and cannot be healed by the laying on of hands alone, because the demons must be removed for the healing to be manifested, see? That's right. And many are sick today, too, because their soul is sick. If your soul is sick, the mind, the will, and the emotion, and your spirit's not sick, because the Holy Spirit dwells there, no sin gets in there. But your soul is what I'm talking about, the mind, will, and emotion. If they're sick, then the body could be sick, too, as a result of that, see? Oh, yeah. Psalm 23 says that he restoreth my soul. You need to start claiming that for your soul. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Start saying that. Start believing that. See, grief, sorrow, regret, pain, hurt, rejection is going to have to be removed from the soul for it to be restored. The hurt, the pain that's manifested in your body could be because of what's going on in your soul. Because there are demons in our soul. The Bible tells us that. Because the flesh is a part of the soul. It says, no good thing dwells in my flesh. Huh? Some people think the flesh is your physical body. That's not what it's talking about. The physical body is not thinking. The soul doing the thinking. That's where the problem is. That's where the demons want to be. They get in the body, too, because, of course, they feed on that, too. You understand what I'm saying, folks? But know this, God has a restoration of your soul for you. And God is in the process of building up Jerusalem. He's in the process of building up his church, folks. But we're going to have to make the choice to cry out for him to come out, to come and minister to us and to come out, and that we would come out of Babylon. We don't have to cry out to the Lord. Amen. Cry out, cry out, cry out until you get the manifestation of God in your life that you desire. Amen. Don't take this thing lightly, see. I don't take it lightly. Do you take it lightly? I don't take it lightly. I take these things of God very seriously. And I hope you do too. I mean, Jesus is my whole life. I mean, that's what my life has been about. And that's what it's going to continue to be about, whether I'm in ministry or out of ministry. I've been called to be a pastor. I mean, I never stop being what I've been called to be. That's what I am. That's who I am. Whether I'm actually doing it or not, that's what I'm called to do, and that's what I'm called to be. See. But regardless of that calling, I have a relationship with Jesus, and you have a relationship with Jesus regardless of what he called you to do and be in life, whether it be, you know, a carpenter, or whether it be a doctor, or whether it be whatever, a merchant marine person, or a restaurateur, someone who works in a restaurant. We have a walk with God that comes separate from our calling, too, even though our walk with God may be manifested in our calling as well. And that's the thing that we need to nurture. We need to let grow. We need to let it mature. We need to just let it increase every day of our lives. Yeah. See, too many Christians today get no help today because they're entrenched in Babylon and they don't even know it or even want to know it. See, that's the thing about it that it's sad is that they stay in their pit. My people perish for lack, often a willful lack of knowledge, willful ignorance, willful lack, willfully choosing to remain the same when there's plenty of opportunities to come out of that darkness, plenty of opportunities to hear the truth, but people reject the truth, or they're too lazy to implement the truth in their lives, or they just don't take the time to hear it in the first place, and they think they're right in their own eyes. And how many know that we may think we're right in our own eyes, but I guarantee you we're wrong about something, okay? And if we'll just seek the Lord long enough, we'll find out what that we're wrong about. I'll tell you that for sure, okay? So can we all just cry out to God today to expose all of Babylon that still remains in each of us? All of that Babylonian confused part of us that still remains, that we've partaken of and we need to get rid of in our lives today? Can we just ask God to deliver us out of that? Out of our ignorance, out of our rebellion, out of our own self-righteousness? And yeah, oh my. Can we cry out today to for him to rebuild us, as Nehemiah rebuilt Jerusalem in God rebuild us to his church and cry out for him to correct that which is wrong within us. Have mercy on us, Lord, and restore us, Lord, so we can move on, so we can grow, so we can mature, so we can move ahead in Jesus, right? To have a new song in our mouth and our song restored. I mean, we need to realize that we enter and live in our song by faith, and we continue in our song by faith. And our ideal may not be God's ideal either. Do you ever think about that? What we think is ideal may not be God's ideal. What we think is best for us may not be what God thinks is best for us. Who we think is best for us may not be who we think is best for us. A lot of people living in a fantasy about who's best for them in their life. And listen, have you sought the Lord about it? Have you asked him? You know, I get requests to minister and request. I mean, I've got several requests right now that they're going to fly us out there and do this or that. But listen, I got to ask God about that. I got to ask Jesus about these things. These requests to go minister here or minister this thing, I ask the Lord. If he tells me to do it, I'll do it. But if he says no, I've got to just say no. See? Got to just say no. And you need to ask Jesus, what do you want, Lord? I think a lot of Christians just don't stop and ask Jesus, what do you have to say about it, Lord? What is your answer for this? I mean, you know the Lord will talk to you. The Lord will direct the path of the righteous. The righteous steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of the righteous person are ordered and directed by the Lord. You will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. See? Amen. The Lord wants to lead his people. But you have to ask him. You have to seek him. You have to get serious about hearing God. So our plan may not be the Lord's plan. So why don't you ask him before you just step off into something without even thinking? Well, yeah, I've done that, and I found out later it wasn't God at all, okay? And I missed God. A few times in my life, you know, I've missed the Lord, okay? More than a few. I mean, the number of times I've missed God in my life, thinking it was him, and I didn't even ask him about it and went ahead. I've learned you got to ask the Lord. You don't just jump in and do something because it seems like you ought to do it or something, you want to do it or whatever, or somebody else wants you to do it. You could be totally, you know, under the control of other people if you did everything somebody else asked you to do, too. And God wouldn't have you to do that either because not everybody else is hearing from God in the things that they want you to do either. So, amen, amen. Why are we talking about that? Well, somebody needs to hear it, okay? So we often think that we understand God and what he's doing, but oftentimes we simply don't. Folks, we simply don't. And see, his ways are so much higher than our ways. The Bible says that. And so it's easy to misinterpret what we think he is saying. Okay? Easy to misinterpret things. On some things, it may take me a month of keeping it before the Lord or longer sometimes. I've prayed about things. I mean, before we moved to Billings, Montana, and before God told us to come here, I prayed for 6 months. I just knew God was getting ready to move us somewhere. And so I prayed for 6 months. My wife and I prayed, fasted, sought the Lord, 6 months. And I kept getting to move to Billings, Montana. That's why I came to Billings, Montana. And before I went to other places and left other places, I would pray about it if I felt God was moving, you see, for a period of time. And see, I want to be sure that I'm hearing the Lord. And sometimes, you know, you just heard all you're going to hear, so you just got to go ahead and step out and go on that. I like to be really sure of things, you know, as much as you can, even though it is a walk of faith, right? Even a walk of faith. And I know sometimes I get it immediately. Some things, of course, I just understand and I hear instantly. God wants me to have it instantly. Like when I'm ministering to other people, you know, I need it then. Right then, I need a word. If God has a word for him, he'll give it to me then, immediately, and I'll get it instantaneously, and it just happens that way, see? But other times, you know, I have to seek the Lord for a while. And, of course, other words that I get, the other things that I hear that I think the Lord said, I want to prove it is the word of the Lord and his answer and his direction. You know, ultimately, it all comes down to walking by faith and what you believe the word of the Lord is to you, of course, right? And remember, the just shall live by faith. Our walk is always a faith walk, right? It's a faith walk. What we walk in is faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You don't live by, you know, what you see, hear, feel, hear, touch, taste, and smell. You live by faith, the Bible says, for the righteous man. That's a righteous woman. That's the way we live our lives. And that's the way it has to be, because faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible. Therefore, faith is what does please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he told us how we're going to be able to do this, and where does the faith come from that we walk by faith in? He gave it to us, right? Amen. Yeah, sometimes you'll miss it. Sometimes I've missed it, but Jesus has blessed us anyway, because, you know, we were doing it, what we did, and I was doing it anyway, but what I did by faith, believing him. And so if you miss it and you're just doing it, believing God, if you're hearing from him and you miss it, then it'll get you back on course. You know, he honors faith, folks. And so he'll work with you. He'll get you back on course, and he'll redirect you and get things worked out in your life. But the important thing is that we learn to come out of this pit that we've been in. Amen? We need to get out of that, and we need to learn to listen to Jesus and trust him with all of our heart. See? And, you know, in the meantime, you know, we wait on God. In fact, everyone is waiting for something. What are you waiting for today? You wait for a mate? You wait for a better job? You waiting for more money? You waiting for a better day? You waiting for a retirement? You waiting for that perfect someone to marry? You waiting for a ministry? You waiting for that child to grow up so that you can do some of the things that you couldn't do when they were at home? Or are you waiting for vacation time to come? You're waiting for your wife or husband to change. Well, you'd be waiting for that till Jesus comes. No, I'm joking. No. Hey, but, you know, only God can change, and you can't. You've got to trust the Lord to do the work that he wants to do in your mate. But if we could change him, we'd have done it a long time ago, right? So we're just waiting on God to do his work, right? Amen. So we're all waiting on something. In the Bible, he says to wait upon the Lord, and that's a serving of the Lord, a waiting upon him, as you wait upon him in service to him. But still, it's also, there is a waiting time. And listen, folks, if you're always waiting for something, and all are, have you learned to enjoy the wait? Huh? Have you learned to live life while you're waiting? You know, we need to know an important reality about Jesus. Many times God waits. Many times the Lord waits. And that's not what we want or what we're looking for. We want God to do something now. We want God to do it right now. We want to be able to pop the microwave button of God, and he just does it right then, right now, the way we want it done. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now, God. Action is what Americans understand. We're impatient, we're restless, we're demanding in this country. And we're self-centered and selfish as well. And this happens now. We want it to happen now. We have a have it now mentality. And it's moved into our spiritual lives as well. And that's not good in our spiritual life. Okay? Because the Bible says we stand in faith sometimes. And there's a period of standing in faith, like I just told you. I have to stand in faith for miracles to take place sometimes, healings to take place. And they don't always happen instantaneously, although sometimes they do, but they don't always. And there's a time of just simply standing in faith, holding fast to the profession of your faith, the confession of your faith, the promise of God, holding fast for the healing of your body, and the deliverance to take place. So we have problems today with understanding Jesus, a Jesus who waits until his time, or a father who waits till his time. Did you know that God doesn't have to wait? He wants to wait. More often than not, his plans for us require waiting, folks. And maybe we don't want to hear that today, but from Genesis to Revelation, we see a God who waits for the right moment or the right segment in time to accomplish his purposes. Okay? To everything, there's a time and a season. Remember that in Ecclesiastes? To everything, there's a time to mourn, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time, you know, all that. Remember that. Yeah. You've read that scripture. I'm sure you've heard it. But King David was fleeing and hiding and waiting for 15 years before he became the king of Judah. And then he waited another 7 years before he received the promise to be the king over all Israel, both Judah and Israel. So what are you griping about? That was 22 years of waiting for God to fulfill his promise. So that's a quarter of many people's lives. Sometimes it's a third. So as young as a lot of people are dying today, it's tragedy, but a lot of people dying young. You don't have to. You could start claiming the word. So what are you griping about? And then there's the waiting for to send his own son. The father waited to send Jesus to the perfect time. Look at Galatians 4:4. We'll turn over there and read that. Galatians 4:4. Notice what it says here. But when the fullness of the time was come, see, there's a fullness of time for everything, see? And when that fullness of time comes, what happened? When the fullness of time came, was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. See, when that perfect timing came, Jesus came at that perfect time. You know, there's a fullness of time for you to come out of your pit. There's a fullness of time for you to overcome in some area of your life or whatever. The fullness of time, see, we need to understand these things. Okay, and maybe the fullness of time is when you have rebuked long enough and resisted the devil long enough, or the fullness of time is when you stood in faith to that fullness of time when your manifested healing came. So there is that fullness of time. Not too soon, not too late, right on time. God is, right? Amen, he is. So quit your belly aching. Things are happening on schedule, and of course, they don't always happen on schedule because some of God's people, they just get off schedule. They just rebel. They go into sin and darkness and do their own thing. And so, of course, yeah, things don't always happen when they should have happened, right? But God has a schedule, and he's going to keep his schedule. And Jesus is coming to fulfill God's plan, and he is coming back, all right? And you can be sure of that, but some people might not think that. But I'm going to tell you, you can be sure what God says is true. If he says something, it's going to happen. And look at Mark 13:32. It says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. See, the Father knows the day. But the Son is coming back in the clouds of glory. He's going to say, and Jesus is saying, there's a time, Lord. There's a time yet. There's a time, Father. But it will be at the precise time that God appointed. So if you learn to wait for natural things, we need to learn to wait for Jesus to show up. You know, I was talking with a minister friend who had gotten deceived. And he said that he told me that nothing is set. We can change everything with our faith. In other words, there doesn't have to be any more wars if we just speak no more wars. He says, if enough Christians believe something, we can change whatever's written in the Bible. It doesn't have to happen. That's what he told me. See, and I'm sorry, I didn't believe that. And I still don't believe that to this day. And, you know, it is written. And I'm telling you, that part, what God has said will happen as God has said, okay? And that's what I believe. I mean, if God wrote it, it's going to happen. We can't confess it away and just use our faith and talk it away by just everybody gathering together and change it. No, what is written is written, and it's truth. And that's what we go by, and that's what we have as a basis to stand upon with our faith. See, our faith can stand upon the written word and know that it'll come to pass for us. See, but if you can't go and twist the word and stand on that with your faith and believe that that's going to come to pass, that's inaccurate. I don't know how this brother got off on that kind of belief. I guess some demon ministered to him. You know, there are doctrines of demons in the church today, and there always will be till Jesus comes. And so there are heresies among us as believers and people that are just not believing accurately. But, you know, that's definitely one of them. But anyway, maybe you have some prodigal children today. Do you have prodigal children? Children who've gone away from God? But I thank God that both of my children are serving the Lord. But they weren't always. I had to pray for them. For years I prayed for them. And some longer for one than the other. But still, the point is, do you have some today? If you do, they can come back to Jesus, see. And some who have departed from the faith, do you know that The statistics are that most of the wayward children, they return to their faith either in their late 20s, early 30s, or their 40s. They usually return to their faith. Not all of them, of course. Some of them, you know, they get caught up in Babylon, and the devil deceives them, and they never come back. Okay, but that may be because they don't have a praying person that's interceding and rebuking the devil and doing spiritual warfare for him too. You know, that does have a lot to do with things as well. But it could be that God is waiting for parents as well as their wayward children. You know, God waits for prodigals. You know, he does. And he wants them to come home, whether they be parents or children and backslidden Christians, so that they can come to him and he can show you his love again. Because I tell you, he longs for your return to him. If you've wandered, he longs for your return. And he loves you, and he's not giving up on you. That's right. But most are too impatient to stop and see how much he loves them. Let's go to Isaiah 30, verse 18 here. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. It says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." See, the Lord, you know, the Lord will wait that he might be gracious. He's waiting for you that he can be gracious. He's waiting for you to get in that position that he can be gracious for you, toward you, that he can pour out his grace upon you. See, he will conquer you to bless you. While parents wait for their kids, perhaps God is trying to also teach parents an important lesson too, to depend upon him and to trust in him with all of their heart. You ever think about that? Why does God take so long, you ask? Well, and why does he do it the way he does it? Good question, but you know, the Word of God has answers for our questions, many of them, not all, but I think all, if you just find it. You just got to seek till you find it. And it says in Ephesians 1:11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Who's counseling God? His will. He works all things after the counsel of his own will, not your counsel, not my counsel. He doesn't consult with John Kyle before he does something, right? He counsels with his own will, not our counsel. He doesn't need nor does he want our counsel. Why is that? Well, read on verse 12 here. Verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That's why. Right? That we may look at our life and say, this mess can't be. I know we might look at our life and say that. This mess can't be to the praise of his glory. Right? This kind of heartache and misery can't bring praise to God. Why can't things just be good and perfect all the time? Well, throughout the Bible and human history, personal brokenness or coming to the end of self-rule has been one of the main ways that Jesus works in people's lives to get their attention, to bring them to him. It's his way of conquering us. And if we reject it, it's going to take longer to make us fit in his purpose, to fit for his purpose and for his plan for us in our lives. See? I mean, what if Moses had rejected the 40 years in the wilderness? Israel would still be in Egypt unless he'd raised up somebody else to deliver him, right? What if Joseph would have refused prison and instead slept with Potiphar's wife and lied about it? Yeah. What if he had slept with her and never gotten caught for it? There would have been no Jacob left to bring Christ's lineage and Israel either. What if Noah said, well, this ark business is taking too long to build and wait for rain? What is rain anyway? There'd be no human race today unless God raised up another Noah. But what if Jesus had not gone into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to fast and to whoop the devil? There might have been no cross, huh? Right? See, listen, Jesus is at work in us, working to accomplish his will and his purposes for our lives today. Will you let him, or will you grow impatient and rebel? See, this is a question you ask yourself. Yeah, I'm asking, but you ask yourself, will you grow impatient and rebel against the work of God in your life? His ultimate purpose is that each of us would be conformed to the image of Jesus, that we would look more and more like Jesus. More and more and more as we live out our Christian life here on the earth until we graduate to glory. See, it's not necessarily easy, nor is it ever quick for this to take place. And you may not like to wait, but in order for you to come forth as gold, manifesting the divine nature, because gold speaks of the divine nature, well, waiting is required. Well, how long it takes rests in the hand of the Father. So will you quit griping? Will you go on griping, or will you quit griping? Will you go on murmuring all the time and rebelling all the way? Or will you learn to just trust him and say, not my will done, but be done, but yours, Lord? You do your will in me. You do your work in me. I'm trusting in you with all my heart. Huh? I'm not saying just put up with stuff from the devil. I mean, that is the stuff that is definitely the devil. Don't just put up with that. But you should have discernment to know what the devil and what is the processing of you into maturity. Because we're all being processed into maturity. We're all growing in grace today. At least we should be, unless we've grown stagnant and rebellion and stuck in Babylon somewhere. But God is going to make everything beautiful in his time. So, hey, enjoy your journey. Otherwise, when you do reach confirmation time, You will wish that you had taken more time to enjoy the trip. And how many are just not enjoying the trip? They're just always looking for something. They're just always looking for some future event, some future time, some future this, some future that. Yeah, well, hey, learn to enjoy the trip, the journey as we grow in God and we just go on toward our great and precious promise that we're receiving at the end, eternal life. But, you know, some people have rigid, controlling devils that rule their lives. They don't enjoy anything, really. To them, everything must fit into a certain mold, or it's bad, it's evil, it's dark. Folks, there are many kinds of demons keeping many kinds of people bound up in their grip, okay? And so many Christians have yielded their lives to evil spirits. Why? Well, why do people allow a being that is perhaps a million or even a billion or more years old a disembodied spirit from the pre-Adamic age to live and abide in them and live out this spirit's identity through them? Why do people allow such a being to rule in their lives? Why is such a thing even allowed? Well, we know why it's allowed. It's because of Adam's sin. Remember, demons are not fallen angels. Angels have a body and do not need one to live in, but demons need a body and want a body, and they're disembodied spirits of beings that lived on earth before man's creation. And, of course, many also came of the disembodied spirits of the giants also from, but, you know, there just weren't billions of giants, folks. So it's may more come from the pre-Adamic than they did from this, from the giants, of course. So that's, you know, there were not billions of giants on the earth. There just wasn't. So at the time since man was created, the Bible says that there were giants before the flood and there were giants also after the flood. But there wasn't billions of them, okay? The earth didn't even have billions of people at that time, okay? So they came from the pre-Adamic, the evil earth that was there then at that time, which, of course, the Bible speaks of, even in Genesis 1:1, where suddenly in the beginning, I mean, he said he created the earth, but Genesis 1:2, it said the earth was without form and void. So something big happened between Genesis 1:1 and because between Genesis 1:2, where the earth became without form and void, because God doesn't make anything without form and void, does he? Okay, he makes everything good and beautiful in its time, right? And so we know that that simply just, it wasn't something happened upon the earth to make it in that kind of condition, something very evil. There was a very evil race of beings that lived upon planet earth pre-Adamically, before Adam and Eve ever came on the picture. But anyway, angels have their own body, and they don't get in body. They don't need a body. And we're not possessed by angels. We're possessed by demons. That doesn't even sound right, does it? Oh, you're possessed with a bunch of evil angels. No, we're not possessed anyway. Christians can't be possessed. We're under the influence. They're under the control. They're attached to us. They're dwelling in us. They call us their house. And these beings of evil, these disembodied spirits that need a body, that they need it so bad that they call us, we're called their house or their body. They live in us and they feed on us. See? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So remember, the earth became without form and void for a reason. Destruction of an evil race of beings of which the devil was involved in. And folks, for too many Christians, too many of them, far too many of them, believe wrongly that the earth is only 6,000 years old. That is simply not accurate. The Bible says to Adam, be fruitful and replenish the earth, meaning that the earth had been plenished before. He would have said, Adam, be fruitful and plenish the earth if it hadn't been plenished before. But instead, God, you know, God doesn't make mistakes when he uses his word. He said, be fruitful and replenish the earth. See? Meaning that the earth had been replenished before and that the pre-Adamic world was destroyed because Jesus doesn't create anything without form and void. And no, it got that way by destruction. And it was so wicked, it had to be destroyed. How old was the earth? We don't know. Could have been thousands, could have been millions, could have even been billions of years old. I mean, think how long it takes for you and I for the light to see the light of a star way out there, many, many galaxies in the universe out there. It takes thousands of years, longer than the Earth even, for some of them, longer than the so-called Christians who believe that the Earth is only 6,000 years old. Longer than the 6,000 years to see some of them. I mean, it takes a long time for it to reach Earth, the light from the way, way, way out there in the universe. So the Earth is not a baby. It's ancient. Okay. Now, the human creation, that is a baby. That's, I mean, what's 6,000 years in billions? You know, God has been around for billions of days. He had no beginning. He says he's just always been. He is, I am. I am is always I am. He doesn't I was. No, he is always I am. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I mean, there is no beginning of God. Now, that's beyond our concept. And then it can rack the brain trying to figure that one out, right? But not wreck the brain. I won't confess that over my brain. But no, it's just beyond our comprehension. Because we think in terms of time, see? So we don't know thousands, millions, billions of years old. I don't know. Could have been for so long now. So the earth is ancient. And these spirits that are allowed and inhabit humans are ancient beings of darkness, allowed to trouble the human race because of Adam's sin, because of Adam and Eve's sin. So why most Christians think evil angels are demons, but they do. And if a Christian has a demon, they have an evil fallen angel within them? Really? Angels don't inhabit people. I mean, this shows our ignorance as Christians. Most Christians even fail to realize that they have these evil ancient beings attached to them. Just like a parasite. You know, you get parasites in you. They feed on your body. They feed on a person. Well, that's what these demons do. They feed on us. They're like a parasite eating away on a person, just sucking the life out of a person. That's what a parasite does. Parasites get in the body and proliferate. Everybody has parasites, but for some, they get out of control. Again, I've told the story before of nurses that have been there and doctors. They pull handfuls of parasites out of people when they're operating on them and throw them in the trash. I mean, that's been testified by operating room nurses. That's just what happens. You know? Some people have so many parasites that you just have to scoop them out by the handful. Yeah. And they suck the life out of a person. And some people have so many demons that they're just literally sucking the life out of them. Yeah. Have you ever thought of these things and thought them through? I mean, why does the average Christian know so little about spirits in the first place? When the Bible tells us about them and tells us that we should not be ignorant about the devil's devices, we should be ignorant about his devil's demons and fallen angels and what they do, why is it that we know so little about our spiritual enemies? The Word tells us to know our enemies, not be ignorant of the devices of darkness. You ever heard of an angel possessing a human being? a non-fallen angel? No, we haven't. So the fallen angels don't possess a human being. Doesn't mean they could never get a control of them and speak to them or something, but usually that's the demons doing that, see, most of the time. But doesn't the Word God tell us to know our enemy and be not ignorant, right? Of the devices of darkness and devices of evil? Is it any wonder that many Christians will fall away and take the mark of the beast today? You know, I'm not thinking that that's going to be that hard for Satan to deceive. I mean, look how easily they're deceived about the mask thing and the lies that come up from Fauci and all these other people that are just sprouting out the lies about things. Okay? Wearing masks for something that just kills less than 1% of the people that actually get COVID, and they're just blaming COVID, everything on COVID. What happened to the flu season this year? We didn't have one. Everything was COVID this year. They didn't give it. Only a few people supposedly died of the flu when 20-some thousand die every year of the flu. What happened to that? It's all blamed on COVID. I mean, it's a big lie, a big fraud. Not that there isn't COVID, not that there isn't something designed out there that can do some damage to people with weak immune systems and torn down bodies and older people who have not kept themselves in shape. But they say more is coming and there's going to be some more deadly thing, but it's been proven that the mask can't keep out the COVID virus. It can't keep it out because it passed right through there. But people just they're so easily brainwashed, and Christians are believing that the vaccine is going to help them. Really? When over 1,500 just from the call-in line alone, where they can report that the deaths and things, the adverse reaction, 1,500 and something have already died from the vaccination? You know, it would be better to take a chance, wouldn't it, with COVID than to take it, taking that vaccine. But it's really not a big vaccine at all from what I've read about it. It's a changing of your DNA. I mean, I just wouldn't take it. I'm sorry. It's not something like that. Me personally, you do what you want. But is it any wonder that Christians will fall away and take a mark of the beast when it comes? We see a lack of true spiritual understanding in much of the church today. It's just so sad to watch this take place before my very eyes, to watch these things happen. In fact, we see a lot of things going on caused by devils that we thought we would never see. Linda and I, we thought we'd never see these things happen, but we're seeing them now. We're seeing them now. We're seeing a lot of things now that we thought we weren't going to see, but they're happening. And they're happening quicker. Things are moving faster and quicker as we start to wind this thing down. And because, you know, compared to the billions of years or the millions of years, that Jesus said, a short work will the Lord do on the earth. So, yeah, if the earth is that old, you know, we don't know how old it is, but we know it's very old. This is a short work, 6,000 years of humanity. Short work will the Lord do on the earth. I mean, if he didn't, we'd probably just all consume ourselves with evil. We'd probably be consumed by the devil and wickedness if he didn't shorten it. The Bible says if the days weren't shortened, no flesh would be saved. Well, we have something else, some other kind of being that Satan perverted and caused to become, yeah, with all the changes they're trying to do to the human race right now. I mean, if you, you know, connect them with electronics and they're not going to be fully human anymore. And my, what's happening today? But we must not fear, for even though we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we must not fear the evil and the darkness around us because he is with us. Yeah, we see the death around us because devils are nothing but death. They don't have life in them. They have the real life of God. They've been separated from that a long time ago. A long time ago. Okay? And so they're just purveyors of death. So we're walking through the valley of death many times. But he is with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to leave us alone. And yeah, I know the scriptures also, it speaks of our physical death too. It speaks of the time when, you know, every man must die and then the judgment, right? But it also speaks of living in a world full of death. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death here. And darkness. And we are walking through this mess, but Jesus is with us and will never leave us nor forsake us. And he will not leave us to fend for ourselves in this world of death and darkness with an atmosphere swirling about with evil spirits and fallen angels and any other beings that fell and have been allowed here to live that we are unknown. I mean, we are unknown too, that we don't know about them. We can't see into that realm that much. I mean, occasionally, you know, some people get glimpses in there, but normally we just don't see into that realm of the second heaven and what's going on there. And see, the pre-Adamic world had billions of beings because we see everyone with multiple spirits, evil spirits in them. You know, I've never met one human being who had only had one demon, okay? Never have I ever met a human being who had only one demon. No, we all have or had multiple devils within us, and none of us are totally delivered from all those beings because deliverance is a progressive work throughout our lifetime. And in its time, we'll get these other demons out, and we'll get more out in its time, and in its time, and in its time, in God's timing for us. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we will get more delivered, and we will continue to grow, and we will continue to get delivered, and praise God for those things. But in the meantime, there had to be billions of these beings for there to be billions of, I mean, what is there on Earth? Seven billion? I don't know the exact number of people on the Earth. How many people on planet Earth today? There are billions of people on the Earth right now, right? What are we looking at? We're looking at in the whole world. I'll just quickly look here. What are 7.9 billion people, right? Is that correct? That's what one place here said. It's 7.9 billion people. So how many demons would it take for everybody to have multiple demons? Some people, I mean, we've cast hundreds of spirits out of some people. So if billions of people have billions, I mean, there's got to be billions and billions of demons, right? Because demons are not omnipresent. You know, they can only be one place at one time and one person at one time. They can't be in multiple people. Now, they might leave from time to time to go out and do some evil, but still, the point of the matter is everybody has them, and they have multiple demons. So how many was in this pre-Adamic world? Lots of them. Lots and lots and lots and lots of them. So, yeah, think about it. These things are things that people don't think about, but it's things that we need to think about, hallelujah, right, to understand things a little better, see? So deliverance is a progressive word. Also note that these spirits were at home in animals as well as humans. So are these spirits from the pre-Adamic, are they part animal, part human? I don't know. But what was their body like when they had one? One of the words for demon is hairy thing. So that's something to think about, too. I mean, are these just hairy-looking, empty things? I've seen them. Excuse me. I've seen them at times doing deliverance. I've seen these things. Yes, some are hairy. Some didn't appear so hairy. But, yeah, something to think about. Something to think, what was their body like when they did have one in that pre-Adamic world? The demons are not beautiful. Fallen angels, you know, angels were beautiful beings, but demons, they're not such. They're not beautiful, okay? They're not beautiful. From the ones I've seen, they're not beautiful, okay? So, man, is that why so many people have animalistic ways in their... and behavior sometimes? I don't know. That's something to think about. But there's much we just don't know. But God gives us many clues in the Word to the things of ancient history. Like there are two floods mentioned in the Bible, right? And one was in the pre-Adamic, see? And then, of course, Noah's flood. And much more, which I don't have time to get into all the things that you see. There's so many clues, so many things that are written about the pre-Adamic in the Word of God. You just have to look and learn and seek those things. But if you're interested in it at all, I mean, you may not be. But the important thing is that Jesus has given us authority over these strange beings, these demonic beings, these demons, they're called demons, and fallen angels, and we should use our authority regularly all our lives. Amen. And we should be bold with it. We should not be ashamed to use the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. And we should use it every day. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You don't resist it. It stands that he's going to not flee from you. He's going to hang around, hang around, hang around, and keep hanging around to the very end of your life. Yeah, until you die and go be with Jesus. That's a sad story for many Christians, isn't it? They never get any deliverance. There's demons. They keep them till they die and go be with Jesus. And then, of course, there's no demons there. But but it's a shame you have to carry all those parasites around with you your whole life, isn't it? It's a crying, sad shame, isn't it? My God, have mercy on us that people would get on board with deliverance and start getting these demons out of them and start seeing the change that can take place in their life. And I realize you're not gonna quit sinning. So you're going to do less sin, the more delivered you get, the less sin you will sin. Even though you will still sin until Jesus comes, the Bible says that there's none of us without sin. But our spirit doesn't sin, the Bible says that, because the Holy Spirit doesn't live with sin, right? Well, I got to wind this down. We got to quit here. I go on and on. Thank God. Thank God. I hope you got blessed tonight with these things. And hey, some of these things maybe you haven't heard before, but, you know, just seek the Lord and realize that there's a lot that we don't know. We're all learning. We're all growing in grace and knowledge. And God is revealing truth to us as we mature and mature and mature. And I've been studying the Word of God for so many years now. And there's still so much more to be gained. And I will continue to study till the day I go home and be with the Lord. Amen. Or until he comes first, whichever comes first. We praise God that he's coming back, and it looks like it's going to be sooner rather than later. Yeah, the second coming of Christ is coming, and we look for that day. Amen. Father, we thank you for these words tonight, Father. We thank you for the message. Thank you for ministering to people and speaking things, Lord, that will challenge them and cause them, Lord, to just become all that you want them to be, Father, and to put some things aside and move ahead, get out of that old dark pit, Father, and move where you want to move by the power of your Spirit, be restored by the work of grace and the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, be delivered from the demons of darkness and the things that have held them in the grip for so long, Father. But Lord, we thank you that it's hope, that it's the children's bread, Father, that for children of God to be delivered. There's no hope for the lost person unless they get saved. But for us, we can get rid of some of these parasites, Lord. We can get rid of these things. But the lost man, yeah, and the lost woman, they don't have that children's bread. It doesn't belong to them. It only belongs to the children of God. And Lord, I thank you for it. Because I've tried to cast demons out of lost people, and they just come right back on them and into them. Even if they do leave, they will come right back. Many of them don't leave because they don't have they don't have to legally. They don't have to stay gone anyway, for sure. So anyway, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for delivering. Thank you for setting us free and teaching us the things we need to know, Father, and just causing us to keep on growing and maturing in the things of God, Father, and keep on getting delivered. Lord, and keep getting set free, Lord, as you do your work in us. We praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. And we look forward to the day when we do graduate to be with you, whether it's through your return or through our passing from one spiritual realm into another spiritual realm. Yeah, our spirit passes in. Anyway. Praise God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll be back and do deliverance for the rest of the program in a few minutes. Tonight we're going to come against those spirits that make people sick in their body, that are working in their mind, that have transferred into their body and making them sick. We command those spirits right now that are working in a person's body to make them sick after being in their mind, their soulish realm, and now they're working on their physical body to bring physical destruction, death, and disease on them. You come out of there right now. We command you to get out of the body right now. Stop causing people to be sick right now. I rebuke those spirits in Jesus' name that have gotten into the body from the mind, because people have just dwelled on these spirits. These spirits have tormented them with depression, with discouragement, with the past and different things over and over and over till now that they're starting to get physically sick. We rebuke that spirit, those spirits in people right now. We command you to come out right now. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All these infirmities, now working infirmities into people, you come out of there right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on up out of there. Move, 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 move. In Jesus' name, move. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We cover all of us with the blood of Jesus right now. Right now, we cover us with the blood. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. And we command these spirits to move up out of there right now. In Jesus' name, keep going. Keep coming out right now. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out right now. Go, 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 move, 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 move. In Jesus' name, move, move, move. All his infirmity spirits that are trying to become infirmity, you go, unforgiveness, go, go. Having things hard in life that just cause you to be weary and wear out mentally, where they now try to wear out your body, those wearing out spirits, in Jesus' name, you come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Move, 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 and move now. Move in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus against you right now. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. All that hurt, all that internal hurt that's trying to hurt your body too, come out. Hurt by people, hurt by relationships. Come out, come out. Grief, sorrow, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Marital strife, it's war on you mentally and now physically. Come out, all that strife spirit. Come out, 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 come out. Regret, come out, come out, come out. Those regret spirits, come out. Come out, those fantasy spirits, come out, come out, come out, come out, all that regret, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, pining away about someone, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all that pining away spirit, come out, all the way, pining away that you should have done this, that you should have done that, you didn't do it. Yeah, you could have, but you didn't, and blah, 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 or you missed your chance at something, come out, all that pining away, come out. Come out, pining away, spirit. Tell you just pine away about someone or something or some event or some past thing. Come out of it, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out. Some unmet dream of your life. Come out, come out, come out. Just dwelling on it, grieving over it. Come out, grieving, sorrow. Come out, sadness. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Grieving, sorrow, sadness. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out, grieving, sorrow, sadness. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. You move, 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 and keep moving up out of there. Move, 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 move. Keep moving up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there. Move. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Grieving, sorrow, sadness. Go. Grieving, sorrow, sadness. We rebuke you. Refuse to allow you to tear down the human body and cause sickness and disease in the person's body. You come out of there right now. Come out of there. Out, 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 out. All the way out. Come on. All the way out. Grieving, sorrow, sadness. We're talking to you, devil. Come out. Come out, devil. Come out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. Move. Up and out of there. Move, move, move. And keep moving. Keep moving, up and out, all the way out, up and out, all the way, all the way, all the way. Keep moving, out, 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 out. Come on, grieving, sorrow, sadness, mourning, pining away about it. Come out. Come on, all the way up out of there. I'm talking to you, devil. You have to obey. If the person wants you out, you just renounce that devil. Tell it to go. Come on, tell it to go and get an agreement with me, and I'll cast those demons out of you. If you can get out of agreement with those devils and get in agreement with what I'm doing for you and the Spirit of God is doing for you, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. I know he's the deliverer, but he uses humans to do it, right? Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. And you have a part to play in it. And you've got to get out of agreement. Come out, all the way out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. All the way up out of there, all the way up out of there, all that resentment, unforgiveness, holding on against somebody. Come out. Keep coming out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All the way out. Up and out of there in the name of Jesus. All the way. Keep moving. You're not going to stay in there. You're not going to get stuck in there. Come out. Come out. Come out. All that spirit of darkness, all that spirit of death, come out. Come out. Spirit of death, death, death. You go. You go. You go. Come out. Come out. Come out, death. Come out. Come out. Come out. They come out through yawning, sawing, sighing, burping, spitting, screaming, tearing up. They come out through your tears. Come out through your breathing. Let them go all the way out. Take a few coughs right now. Get them moving out of there. Come on. All the way. That helps get them moving. Come on out. All the way out. Come on. Up out of there. Go, 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 go. Go, go. All that spirit of sadness. Come out. Sadness. Grief. Come out. 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 Whatever stole that song that the Lord puts in your mouth, we command that spirit to go. You've lost your song. It's time to get your song back. Time to get rid of that depression and discouragement. Come out. Come out. Depression, discouragement. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. Come on. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on. All that hurt, all that woundedness and being wounded in life. We've all been wounded, but there's a spirit of woundedness that it gets in people and wants to just hang on, and we get in agreement with it, and it just tears away at people. Come on, all that woundedness, you come out. Woundedness, you come out. Come out, all the way out. All the way out. All that woundedness, you come out. Come out, that woundedness spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All that self-punishment, you come out. Self-punishment. Oh, I deserve this. I've been so bad. I've made so many mistakes in life. All that self-punishment, that self-sabotage. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Self-punishment, come out. All the way out. All the way out. Well, when you sin, you punish yourself. Come out. Yeah, I deserve it. You don't understand, Pastor. Yeah, I understand. I understand that you're listening to demons. They're doing that to you. And you've just got an agreement with them when you self-punish. That's not biblical. That's not in line up with the Word of God. Come out of there right now. Come on. All the way up out of there. Go, go, go. All that self-punishment, self-chastisement. Come out. 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 Come on. All the way out. Come on. All the way up out of there. You have to go. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Self-sabotage. Come out. Self-sabotage. You start to get ahead, start to get blessed, and then you sabotage it. See? Yeah, that's right, because there's a demon in there. Self-sabotage. Start getting somewhere in God. Start growing and great. Start getting somewhere, and then something happens, and self-sabotage again. Again, back you go. Same old stuff over and over. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Come out all the way out. Come out of there. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. Come out. Come on all the way out of there. All the way up out of there. Jesus' name. All the way out. Jesus' name. Spirit of sickness. Come out. Come on. Spirit of sickness. Spirit of, yeah, God wants us. He called us to wellness and wholeness, not the sickness and death. So sickness and death, you come out. Sickness and death, we rebuke you. Come out of there. the blood of Jesus right now against you. Come out of there, sickness and death. We apply the blood. Angels, sword this spirit. Drive this spirit out. Right now, we send the mighty warring angels into battle against these spirits of sickness and death, disease. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The blood of Jesus. Put your hand on a part of your body right now and rebuke those spirits in there. Come out of there. Come out of there right now. And we command healing into your body right now as these spirits go. Because many times the spirits, like we said in the message, can't be healed till you do as Jesus did. He cast the spirits out and healed the sick. So together, they work together. Deliverance requires a casting out and a healing together in some cases, not all cases. Some cases, you just pray for healing and they're healed. All right, come out, all the way out. All that sickness, all that infirmity, all that disease, all that spirit of death working in your body, we just command you to go right now, go right now, go right now, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come on, put your hand on your body there and command it to go for multiple places in your body, whatever. Come out, 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 come out. We break the curses over these bodies, inherited generational curses of sickness, disease, death. Come out, 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 come out. We break the curse right now in Jesus' name. You can't continue in our bodies at all in Jesus' name. Any of us that is listening to this program or participating, you come out. Come out right now. Sickness, disease, death. The curse of sickness, disease, and death. Generational curses, sickness, diseases, and death. We break the curse and command the demons, go. Go, go, out, 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 out of it. Out of our minds, out of our bodies, out of our organs, out of our circulatory system. Go, 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 out of our digestive system. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out right now in Jesus' name. Come on, take a few coughs. Get them moving. All the way out. All the way out. Cough a few more times. Let them go. Breathe them out. All the way out. Let them go. All the way up out of there. Go, go. Move, 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 move. Keep moving. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Loose, loose, loose them and let them go. All the way out. All loose those parts of the body. Move out of there, demons. We break your hold. We break your hold in Jesus' name. We send the angel to chase and persecute you till you're gone in Jesus' name. However long it takes, chase and persecute these demons till they're gone in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out, 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 out. Come out in Jesus' name. That Babylonian spirit, you come out. That Babylonian compromise, you come out. That Babylonian idolatry, you come out. That spirit of Babylonian confusion, you come out. Come on, come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Let it go. All the way out. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Up and out. In the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke these spirits. And the Lord rebuke these spirits. Come out. All the way out. Keep going. Up out of there. Up out of there. In the name above every name. The name that every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Demons, you do it. You come out. All the way out. Jesus is Lord. Say it, demons. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And you're defeated. Yeah, and you got to go in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way. Keep coming out of there, keep coming out of there. Keep all those Babylonian spirits, keep coming out. Babylonian spirits, come out. Confusion, come out. Idolatry, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Lust, Babylonian lust, you come out. That Babylonian lust is so full of lust. This world is so full of lust. It's getting more full, it's more perverted, more unclean. The uncleanness of humankind is there's a stench in the but Jesus, thank God for Jesus, hallelujah, he made a way for us to be free from that. So come out of there, all that Babylonian lust, all that unclean sexualness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all that perversion, perverseness, come out, Babylonian perverseness, come out. Come out, 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 in Jesus' name. We come out from Babylon. Well, hey, we're not going to be controlled by Babylon. Come out in any manner, shape, form. We're not going to give place to it. We're of another kingdom. We're of the kingdom of God. We're the kingdom of heaven today. Come out, all the way out. Go. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. All those spirits that have got your wall broken down and torn down, we command them to come out. Rejection, rebellion, resentment, come out. Rejection, rebellion, resentment, come out right now. Rejection, those spirits of rejection, come out. I bind that rejection, come out. I bind that rebellion, come out, 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 come out. I bind that resentment, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. In the name of Jesus, we're talking to you, devils. Come out of there right now. Move, 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 move. We just pray the restoration of your broken down hedge right now in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Where the serpent's been biting on you, we command that serpentine spirit to move up out of there right now. Those night spirits, those serpent spirits, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. We pray those bites of the serpent will be healed in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. Keep coming out, all the way out. All that abuse, all that rejection, keep going, keep coming out. Go, 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 go. Move, 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 move. Move in Jesus' name, move. Keep moving all the way out. All the way up out of there in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, above every name, ever name. Thank you for that name that we've been given the authority to use it, Lord. Thank you that we can boldly use the name above every name and see the results of the name. Thank you, Jesus. Let the demons bow, the demons tremble at that name when it's used in the authority. Like, we're not like the seven sons of Sheba. We're like Paul, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Those demons said to the seven sons of Sceva that said for the demons to come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, right? But that's not good enough. No, you got to know the Jesus that you preach. You got to speak of the authority of the Jesus that you preach. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. The Jesus that you know, yeah, and then the devils will know you too. They don't know the people that don't have no authority over them. They don't have any respect for them. They just use them, their pawns, their peasants, and nothing to the devils, nothing at all. He already got them. He's the fearful of you and me. He's the fearful of those who have the authority and know how to use the authority and do use the authority against him. And so we just use it right now and cast out those strongholds, those demonic spirits. You come out of there and keep coming out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Those spirits of destruction, you come out. Spirit of destruction, trying to destroy a person, trying to destroy their life, their physical body, their mind, you come out. Spirit of destruction, come out. We break the curse of destruction right now. The curse of destruction, you come out right now. Come out, 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 out. All the way out, all that destruction, you come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out now, all the way out. Spirits of destruction, you go, you go. Spirits of destruction, go. Spirits of bitterness, you go, come out. Spirits of delusion, you come out. People that are deluded by spirits, you come out. All that delusion, mental delusion and deception, you come out right now. Move in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Come all the way out in Jesus' name. You go, move, move, move. Come on, keep coming out. Come on, delusion, destruction, come out, deception, come out in Jesus' name. Keep going, keep moving in the name of Jesus right now. And yeah, you have to go. You are defeated by the blood of Jesus, right? Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, we're running out of time, but we'll do a few more. Come on, keep coming out, all the way up out of there. Come on, all the way out. All those lying memories and memory recall, come out, come out. The devil getting people's memories and make people believe things that aren't even true, that didn't even happen sometimes. You come out, and then also you'll have memory recall of certain memories to torment you. Come out. All that memory recall and lying memories, you come out. Come out now. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come on, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 keep going. Go, go, come out, come out, come out, come out. Memory recall, tormenting mental memory recall. Come out, come out, come out. Fear the lying memories, you come out too in the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 come out. All those lying memories, you have to go all the way out in Jesus' name. Those fantasy, make-believe spirits, come out all the way out in Jesus' name. Go. Familiar spirits, you go through. Familiar spirits, you come out. Come out. We break mental curses over your mind right now. We break those mental curses over the mind in the name of Jesus right now. You be broken and you come out of there all the way out. We break those mental curses over the mind, mental illness, insanity. We break that. Come out. Mental illness, insanity. Come out. Come out, come out, come out. Father, we thank you for this deliverance tonight. We thank you for sealing the deliverance that people receive tonight to them, that they will keep what they got and walk it out and be blessed with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Remember, next week we're going to receive communion on the broadcast as well, and that will release the power of God also to receive healing and other things, deliverances that take place, and miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. So don't forget that they have your grape juice and your little piece of cracker or whatever you what have you, and we will receive together next week's broadcast. And thank you for being with me tonight, and we thank the angels for being here and the Lord, and thank you for being here. And we will see you back next week. God bless you. You have a blessed weekend, and the Lord be with you mightily, and we will see you back soon. All right. Praise God. Bye-bye now. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you back next week. Bye-bye now. Hallelujah.